This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast that takes a look at the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we chat with a pair of volleyball players who played a key role in the Bobcats earning a big NESCAC win over the weekend. Plus, our Bobcats of the week come from the cross-country teams as the Bobcats hosted the Bates Invitational on Sunday, with the women winning the meet. All that and more coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates football team opened the 2023 season Friday night when the Bobcats hosted the Wesleyan University Cardinals at Garcelon Field. Bates, a team with 39 first-year players, gave the visitors all they could handle in a 28-17 loss. Every week during the football season, we sit down with head coach Matt Coyne, who was very encouraged by what he saw Friday night from his young team.
First of all, before we get into the game, just take me through kind of the atmosphere of that one, because, like, I know people get fired up to play under the lights, big crowd, and really a lot of excitement, right?
Oh, yeah. It was an awesome experience. I think for a lot of our guys, you know, they really appreciate the support from the school, you know, the student body, parents, family, friends, alums, administration. I think it was a wonderful game experience and obviously aided in helping us, you know, compete at a high level.
And then looking at the team, obviously you got to see a lot of first years get start, see playing time. What was your overall kind of view of how they're reacting to their first game of college football?
Yeah, I think it was, again, it's a pretty unique experience, you know, heading into a game under the lights and, you know, having a lot of new faces. I think, you know, one of the things we talk about with anybody, you know, freshmen included, obviously, in our situation is, you know, the game experience is invaluable, and there's a lot of things you learn throughout that. You can't simulate that in a practice or any other situation. So I think for us, I think, you know, obviously the ultimate goal is to win, and losing is not an easy feeling, you know, and we're upset about that, and we've already washed that in our 24-hour period. But there was a lot of positives that I took from that game, you know, from the physicality standpoint. You know, we were right there with Wesleyan. They didn't outmatch us there. From our ability to bend, not break, you know, defensively we held. And, you know, even looking at that last drive, you know, just fighting until the end, I think that's something that you can really build off of. And it's, you know, really good for the culture that we're building here. And, you know, once those guys see more reps, and they're going to get better. You know, and I think for us, I'm really proud of how they, you know, played against a good team. That's a good team.
Well, and the offense for Bates did not turn the ball over at all. Colton did seem like maybe he wasn't on the same page a lot as the receiver. Some of them, I don't know what your evaluation of how he played, because no turnovers, but it did seem like there was some struggles, I guess, passing.
Yeah, I think it's also, you know, obviously on both sides of the ball, we're dealing with new faces, you know, whole new receiving core, you know, from last year that, you know, Colton's still getting in rhythm with. You know, I'd agree that, you know, we just didn't have a great rhythm offensively in the first half. And, you know, our special teams, we have to be better there, you know, to flip the field and field position wise. You know, but overall, I think, you know, the offense sort of clicked a little bit more in the second half. We were able to move the ball, sustain some drives, you know, give our defense a break. And you know, I think we started to find our way in the game. Just unfortunately, we just made one or two critical errors and spotted them, really, you know, a couple touchdowns there where that game could have been a lot closer.
Well, Ryan Linsky, the first-year running back, how about that? A rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown in his first game. The receiving touchdown, I mean, he looked like a wide receiver on that play. Take us through that, how that developed.
Yeah, so he's, you know, he's got some speed, and he can catch the ball. And, you know, we talked about in the preview, you know, when we motion empty a little bit against Wesleyan, we saw a tendency that they match up a backer on him. And we just said, hey, we're going to take that matchup. And he made a great play on that. Colton made a great throw. The O-line protected long enough for us to get that off. And, again, that's really great to see, you know, a kid in his first game get a couple of touchdowns and sort of get, you know, his feet under him, because he's going to be a great player for us down the road here.
And Sergio Beltran had a few nice moments as well. It looks like he's going to be an interesting piece there, isn't he?
Yeah, Sergio's developing, obviously sophomore receiver, and, you know, he's got some things to him, and, you know, he's dealing with a little bit of injury in preseason that he got over, and we're happy to have him back full go now. And, you know, for us, I think, again, it's just the chemistry, and I think that's one of those things that's really underestimated when you, you know, graduate a really experienced receiving core. You know, all four of those guys, you know, three, four, five of them, I mean, you know, they were with Colton for a couple of years, and now it's, you got to find that rhythm, you got to find your identity, and, you know, for us, I think that's what we're going to continue to do this week.
And I love talking about special teams with Ruiz, the first-year kicker. 37-yard field goal. That's the longest field goal made by a Bates place kicker since 2017, and he's a rookie. And that must give the offense some confidence that they know that they can score even if they don't necessarily get in the end zone.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for Marcos, that's huge. He was also 2-of-2 on his PATs. Yeah. And, you know, so for him, like, as a freshman stepping up in that role, I think that's, you know, right before half where we needed some points to get some momentum. You know, I think that was awesome to see. And, you know, he's got a mind for it. I mean, he's a special kid. And, you know, again, I think that, you know, we clean up some things on special teams. Some of our snaps were a little bit off, which threw off some timing. And, you know, we didn't flip the field as well as we should have. So I've got to clean that up. And, you know, we just got to get better. But, you know, for us, I mean, the level of competition, you could see it, you know, the that we were out there competing and that we were hitting and we were running. And, you know, our O-line, I thought, did a really good job up front, you know, especially with the two of the younger guys up there. I think our, you know, Pete and Cole played a really great game. And we're just going to continue to keep getting back to work and just keep building our identity.
Defensively, you touched on this earlier, but bend but don't break. It seemed like the run defense was really effective. You outrushed Wesley in this game. Pass defense, bend but don't break, but they did have a couple of receivers who seemed, you know, to be an issue, I guess. How do you kind of balance that in terms of scheming for maybe a star player versus, you know, trying to have a balanced overall, you know, scheme?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things where, you know, for the big thing for us that we wanted to make a change in from last year was our explosive plays. Right. And if you look at it, I mean, out of the 75 snaps, they only had 9 explosive plays, which is a great percentage when you look at it. You know, and a lot of those explosive plays were right on that 15-yard mark. You know, we really only gave up two plays where, you know, we had a post ball down there that, you know, we just didn't get over top of. And then the scramble for the touchdown was only the two, like, big explosives. And for us, when you look at that, you know, the scramble for a touchdown, we have a clear avenue for a sack. We don't keep contain. It's this close. That's 7 points. And then, you know, on the other end, you know, we had the screen they threw for the touchdown. You know, we had to peel with that, and we should have been had a guy peeling with that running back, forces a field goal. So that's a 10-point swing, and now you're looking at it at 18-16 when we score. Are we going for 2? And, like, so we're right there, and it's just those critical errors that we have to clean up. But obviously with experience, that'll change. But ultimately, you know, I felt that, you know, our kids competed their butts off, and, you know, we just got to get a little better in areas, and we're going to. Each week we keep practicing.
You touched on Jackson Collins during our season preview, and it seems like he was in the middle of everything like he should be as a middle linebacker, right?
Yeah, he had a great game, you know, just, you know, watching the film, he's just around the ball. He's just, you know, a hard-nosed player, you know, tackling physicality-wise. And, you know, I think, you know, those guys did a really great job. I thought all, you know, the interior D-line, our interior backers, you know, our overhang guys, like holding a team to 37 carries for 69 yards is not easy. And, you know, for us, you know, that was a really bright spot, and then something that we're going to continue to build off of, and continue to clean up. There's still some gap fits we have to clean up, and we just got to keep getting better and just get back to work.
Give me a little scouting report on Tufts, because Bates beat Tufts at Tufts 2 years ago. Tufts got the revenge last year. Now you're playing again at Tufts. I know their quarterback, Berluti, that's a name I'm recognizing, so he's been around a bit.
Yeah, Tufts is a very good team, and I think it's, you know, not a question. I mean, I know they ran into a little bit of a struggle last week against Trinity. You know, obviously going down there is a tough place to play, but, you know, Berluti's is as good as they come at a quarterback. You know, he's a special kid. They have, you know, two really good receivers, you know, and Jaden Richardson and Cade Moore, a good old line up front. So, you know, we have our challenges cut out for us on the defensive side of the ball. And offensively, you know, their defense causes some issues. You know, they do a lot of twisting, a lot of stunting. They, you know, they play a bunch of different coverages, a lot of man-based scheme. So we got to figure out ways to get our, you know, players the ball. And for us, it's really going to be, you know, trying to contain Berluti, because he's one of the, you know, he's one of, if not the best quarterbacks in the league. And so it's another challenge that we're ready to go after, and it's going to be a night game down there now, and, you know, a great environment for us to go into and compete in.
Yeah, 3 straight night games to start the year, it turns out. Coach Coyne, thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
On Saturday, the Bates volleyball team earned a thrilling 3-2 win over NESCAC Foe Connecticut College at Alumni Gym. Junior Katie Korticos tallied a career-high 14 kills in the victory, and junior captain Chrissy Chu set up those kills with a career-high 34 assists. Chu also added a career-high 14 digs in the win. The dynamic duo joined the Bobcast to talk about the big win and the art of the setter-hitter connection.
Couple of juniors join us here on the Bobcast, Chrissy Chu and Katie Korticos, talking some volleyball. And we got a setter, we got a hitter joining us. And so obviously a lot of success there against Connecticut College, a big victory. But Chrissy, before we get into the details of that match, perhaps tell me a little bit about how you as the setter work with your hitters like Katie and everyone else.
Yeah, it's a very important connection that we constantly work on in practice. I'd say it's probably one of the more important ones, of course. And it's like an ongoing thing. Sometimes we'll go in for extra reps, like with individual hitters, or it might just be in practice where we just communicate with each other constantly. Our coach, Emily, is always on us about, like, make sure you check in with your hitters, make sure you check in with your setter, make sure you guys are always talking, because that is how we are going to earn points in games.
And Katie, what's it like working with Chrissy?
It's really fun, but I think something about, like, hitter-setter connection is it's just always something you're going to work at. I think the big part about volleyball is, like, it's such a team sport, so it really depends on what the pass is like. So really communicating, I think, as a hitter, is really important to communicate with Chrissy at every single play of what play I'm running, what I'm running, if the pass is perfect, what I'm running, if the pass is off. So I think just like building the connection also off the court where we're friends and like able to have those conversations, so it translates on the court as well.
Great. And Chrissy, growing up, when did you decide setter was kind of your best position, where you wanted to play?
Oh, I've been playing volleyball for so many years, and it honestly wasn't even a decision I made for myself. My mom has played the sport for her whole life too, and she was like my coach, like starting in middle school. So she noticed that I had really nice hands, and she's like, you're just gonna go in and just set the people, and like you're gonna come out, and like that's it. So that's kind of how that all started, and then club volleyball, that's just been my whole life, basically. It's just been setter.
And Katie, how about for you from a hitting perspective?
Pretty similar experience. My whole family plays volleyball. My mom and sisters both played in college. So I was very exposed to volleyball at a young age, and I was always a little bit taller. So my mom was like, try hitting, and I absolutely love it. And outside is a new position that I've kind of took on last year and now this year. And so being able to pass and hit is something that's really fun in a game.
You bring up a really good point I wanted to ask about, because there's different types of hitters. Mm-hmm. Outside hitter, middle hitter, you have the right side. So for those who don't know volleyball very well, tell us about the nuances of those different positions, kind of.
Yes, so even though it's all hitting, I feel like it's all very different, and you only would know that if you know volleyball, but it's a lot for me, like the distance of the set. So like for an outside hitter, you deal a lot with timing is a big thing, because your setter is typically more pushed to the right of the court and she has to push you all the way out. So it's definitely more of timing, waiting to approach, whereas the middle is just super fast. Like yeah. Your sets are all very tempo, very like you're on your like last two steps to hit the ball. And the right side is pretty similar to outside, but it's just a shorter distance. So your timing is a little bit different as well. But I grew up playing right side middle mostly, so I'm like used to the quicker set. So going back on the left, like slowing things down and remembering timing. So timing is definitely like the biggest difference of hitting for sure.
And for you, Chrissy, having to set up different hitters, it's a lot of nuance from your perspective too, right?
Yes, totally. For Katie, she said it's all about position. For me, it's about more of the other side of the court, really. As a setter, it's kind of your job to be in the know of like on not only your side but the other side. So a lot of what I do during games and practices and all this stuff is like what's going on the other side of the court, and I also play the strengths of my hitter. So if I know that Katie's got a killer like cross court shot, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go to my outside. But if there's like some kind of weakness in the defense on the other side of the court, I'll either set my middle fast so they can get a quick swing down, or I'll set my right side so they can attack that line. You know, it's all about strategy for me. So whoever's got the hot hand, I'm going to set.
Awesome. Well, speaking of that, Saturday's big five-set win over Connecticut College. You had another double-double for yourself with the digs and the sets. And so take us through what was really working for the team and how you were able to come away with a big win there.
Yeah, so for that game, we noticed that there was a big, nice open spot in like the right back for Connecticut College. So try to play to our strengths with that one. And for our outsides, that was like a pretty good shot for them, like Katie, and like those last couple of sets, especially the fifth set, like our connection was really good. And I every single time I put that ball up, I was like, I know she's gonna put this ball down. And like you can see it, like the energy on the court, like the energy between us, like it was amazing. Like when I know there's a hitter that has a hot hand, I'm like, I'm gonna give them the ball and we're just gonna keep rolling on this high.
Great. What allowed you to have that hot hand there on Saturday?
I think confidence played a huge thing of just like going up every single ball. I think something about volleyball is like there is going to be mistakes. There's going to be times where you get blocked. But like really focusing on not allowing that to affect my next swing. And I think also just really working with like the shots and what I had open. In the middle of the game, they switched to kind of defend my line more so than working the cross court and just like really, and then tips to just like really work the defenders and get them to look at something different. Even if the ball isn't down every single hit, like you've switched their minds to think, oh, maybe she will tip, and then you hit one. So you open up for yourself.
Great, and you had the clinching kill, right? So what was that moment like being swarmed by your teammates after the victory?
It was really fun. I think in the fifth set, it was like 14-6, and I think they came back 3 points. So we were kind of down, like really just trying to get that last point. So when Chrissy sent me that ball, I was like, it needs to be done. So I just really tried everything I could, and it was really fun having the team. We haven't had a NESCAC home game win, so it was really fun just having the team just celebrate and jump on me, and it was the best.
Awesome. And Chrissy, I mentioned this earlier, but you also had a lot of digs. Yeah. So that's a whole nother strategy. That's a whole nother technique. How do you balance practicing, you know, offense and defense like that?
As a setter, your job is always defense first, set okay. second. So that's just how all coaches have like been teaching me my whole life. And like it's really hard for me. Sometimes I have a little bit of habit to like maybe not play defense as much. But, you know, I'm working on it, of course, as we're all students of the game still. But always trying to like make sure that like it's a team sport, right? So we're all playing different positions. We all have our roles on this team. And just making sure that like I separate them a little bit. So defense first, get back to base, be there for my teammates on defense, and then go and set them and start running our offense. So it's a little bit of a quick turnaround, and it is a lot to think about, but definitely just trying to separate it and break it down into steps is how I go about that.
And I'm watching, like, how do you even judge where it's going to go? Like, how do you do that from a defensive perspective? That must be really tricky.
It is super tricky, but Emily and Allie always tell us to be stopped on defense. So wherever we are on the court, it doesn't matter if we're front row setting the block or in the back row just playing the defense, just always be stopped and always be looking at your hitters. And there's a lot of reading, and after watching so much film and just playing the game, you just start to know and pick up on habits. So be stopped, read, and then just wait and react to the ball.
Great. What's it like being one of the captains this year?
It's been a really great experience. Like, we've had great captains before, and like even in, like at home, like it's just, I've been so exposed to so much leadership, and I think it's been a really great experience working with Julia as well, because we've had so many conversations as a team preseason and out of season, like so many conversations. We really came in with like a fresh mindset of like, we're going to work really hard and try to turn around last season, use it as motivation to like really step up our game and step up our team chemistry. So it's been a really great experience, and everyone has played a huge part in it.
I mentioned earlier, you're both juniors, and Emily Hayes, your head coach, I mentioned that you sometimes joke with her that she's a junior also. This is her third year as head coach. So, Katie, what's it like been working with her, you know, helping grow the program these last few years?
Yeah, it's been really fun. I always joke with her, and I'm like, we're juniors. But it's been really fun. I think it was definitely an adjustment not being, like, recruited by her at first, but really just, like, growing this program together has been really fun. I think I was even thinking about it with a couple teammates, but, like, our freshman year, the team was, like, literally completely different. It's just us really now. So just really working on, like, building such a strong team chemistry, and that's really what we've been working super hard at preseason, out of season last year, and just, like, building the freshmen into that. And just having Emily as just a guide to really like building this together, which has been really nice, because it's just been also a learning experience. Like, we're all learning how to build this just kind of from the ground up. So it's been nice having a coach who's like kind of in the same grade as you, if you want to call it.
Great. And this is something I always ask people on the Bobcast, but like, when you were in high school, what made Bates kind of the place for you for college? For the juniors here at Bates, it must have been a kind of a weird time, right, because of COVID and everything when you were in high school. But take us through kind of your recruiting process and what made Bates kind of where you wanted to go.
My sister went to Trinity. She also played volleyball there. So I was very familiar with like the NESCAC schools. And I was like, it was like end of junior year in the summertime, I was like looking at schools. I couldn't really visit many places, but I was like, my mom's like, why don't you just like start emailing more NESCAC schools? Like, just think about it. And I reached out to Bates and they got back to me, and it like kind of grew into like a really fast relationship. And I looked more into like the academics and like the school itself. And I drove myself up here with my parents and we walked around. And the more I was here on campus and the more I heard about like from previous teammates, and just the whole community just sounded like so welcoming and just so cooperative. Like, you hear about some other schools and how like students like compete against each other, and I wasn't about that, but here at Bates everyone's like one huge family, and I really love that, and Maine's so beautiful. So it definitely was something out of my comfort zone, but I'm so thankful that I chose this place because it has really become a second home.
How about you, Kate? I think you have some NESCAC connections also, right?
Yes. My oldest sister, or older sister, played at Amherst. Yeah. She was a setter there. And then my oldest sister played D1. So I was very, like, adverse to the different types of volleyball. And I was more in tune with the Amherst experience of it. And I just heard about Bates through one of my sister's friends who played here a couple years ago. And I really wanted to go to the East Coast, but I was like, Maine is too far. So I didn't really look into it at first, but then I found out the hitter or the coach was looking for a hitter. So I was like, my sister was like, just send out an email. Well, it's gonna do. So I was like, fine, I'll send it out. And I came to Bates, and it was weird COVID time, but I was able to meet with the coach, and I literally just remember being here with my mom and stepping on campus, and I turned to her, I was like, I'm coming here. And she was like, whoa, slow down. Like, you literally just got here. But I kind of just knew right away, and I love having a different experience. I'm from Los Angeles, so very different here in Maine, but I've just fell in love with like the community of Bates. All the people here that I've met and now I'm friends with are just like some of the best people. And I love it. It's definitely a second home, like Chrissy said as well.
Awesome. Well, after a big NESCAC win this past weekend, you have another NESCAC match right away almost. This podcast comes out on Tuesday. You have a match on Wednesday there at Colby. What are your thoughts on the, you know, season going forward? Christy, some, you know, goals you have as a team to kind of keep, you know, this thing growing, basically.
Yeah, one of our biggest goals is just consistency. I think that there are times where volleyball is such a long game sometimes. Like, soccer, it's time, so you know how much you got left in the game. But, like, volleyball, you can win a set, you can lose a set, and, like, that can mentally, you know, have a lot of effect on you as a team. So I think our major goal is to just be consistent with our energy, be consistent in our game, and I think that's going to carry us through a lot of tough matches.
Hey, Katie, what's your view on kind of the goals going forward?
Yes, I think just really going in there with a lot of energy. I think when we start off with energy, we play really well, and when we don't, we see the lull. So I think just kind of getting up there and just playing our game. I think a lot of times we kind of mirror what the other team is doing, but I think pulling away from that and just playing what we've been practicing and just going in there. And I think having a win under our belt has been nice to just kind of like amp us up and be like, we can win this, we can do more. So I think I'm very excited to see what Colby has.
All right, sounds good. Katie Kordikas, Chrissy Chu, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast.
Yes, thank you, Aaron.
The cross-country teams hosted the Bates Invitational at Roy's Disc Golf on Sunday, with the women winning the event and the men placing a strong second out of six teams. The women's team saw sophomore Elizabeth Holcomb deliver another strong performance, with the 2022 NESCAC Rookie of the Year finishing in second place individually out of 87 runners in the 5K race, with a time of 19 minutes, 7.6 seconds. And she is our female Bobcat of the Week.
Female Bobcat of the Week, Elizabeth Holcomb with us here on the Bobcast, talking some women's cross country and a victory for the Bobcats. First place there at the Bates Invitational. And last year it was just against Tufts. This year you had five other teams there. So what was that experience like, having so many schools?
Yeah, this year, I mean, there was a lot of new stuff to kind of get adjusted to. There was like a, you know, last minute switch to the disc golf course, which was, I don't know, something to adjust to. But yeah, there were five other schools there. I found it to be more exciting. I think it was, you know, it meant better competition. And honestly, I think the change of course was kind of a happy accident, or like a welcome surprise. Like, I really liked the course. And so, yeah, that was good.
Well, I was going to say Roy's is very flat and more like the courses you compete on, I understand, during championship season, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it was, I mean, the coaches and the people at Roy's did a ton of stuff last minute, and we had like a lovely mowed grass course, which is like something that we normally get later into the season. I still haven't raced a proper race at Pineland yet, so I guess I'm putting it off for another year. But no, it was super lovely. It was super open, and you know, like people were cheering. Like, it was just nice. You know, there were people cheering, and you could kind of see them the whole time. And I think it was good for runners and good for people viewing too. So yeah.
Yeah, I understand. The men's race was at noon, and the women race at 12:45. Yes. So what was it like, kind of gearing up and maybe having the men's race before yours?
So I normally like to race before the men's race. I think, like, you know, just get it out of my system, less time to, like, worry about things. But I don't know. I think it was still good. Like, the energy was there. Getting to watch them kick off the season was kind of exciting. And it was, like, it was good to, like, watch them and kind of refamiliarize myself with racing before I actually did it. But they killed it. There were some, like, really impressive performances on their side of things. So, yeah, that was exciting. And I also think as the teams have merged, I mean, this is the second year that we've been kind of all together. I think, especially this year, like, have just gotten a lot closer. And I think I'm getting more and more invested in their race as well as mine, you know. So, yeah.
Excellent. Now, you finished second overall, so take us through the race kind of from your perspective. You know, maybe were you running with the person who finished first a lot of it, or how did that kind of go?
Oh, gosh. So I was super nervous going in. I mean, haven't raced a cross-country race in a while, and I don't know, was nervous about, you know, getting the competitive mindset back. So I think I definitely, like, I talked with my teammates and we on the line and beforehand, and we were kind of like agreeing, like, yeah, we probably want to go out a little more conservatively. We said maybe 6:20, 6:10 pace for the first mile. I think we ended up hitting like 6:10 for the first mile. And I was definitely like, I don't know if I was like fully engaged in that first mile, and I was just trying to get comfortable. But yeah, I guess we were in a pack of about like 10, 15 up there, and I was kind of sitting behind behind my teammates. And I'd say like a mile and a half in, there was some separation and the pack up front got a little smaller, and it was really only like the last 800 where I passed the girl who had been in second. I don't remember what school she was from. But yeah, I mean, I felt super strong the second half of the race, which was good. I'm glad that I went out a little more conservatively. I think it was a big confidence booster to like feel strong on the second end of the race and like really put in a lot of effort and know that I like had that effort to put in. So yeah.
And the team won by a lot. Like that's really cool to see, right?
Yeah, that was so exciting. I mean, it was exciting last year. I feel like we saw a lot of success, and I think there's been a ton of momentum over the summer. Like, everyone has been working so hard because obviously, you know, there's gaps to fill. I mean, Jill was this like awesome, crazy good runner, but we have a really strong, deep team this year, and I think more than ever people on the women's side and obviously the men's side too are just really excited to be racing, competing, and training hard with each other. And so I think at the end of last year I was kind of nervous, like, oh no, all these seniors that I've had so much fun running with and like being competitive with, like, what am I going to do without them? But like, there is still a super competitive, awesome pack of girls that I got to run with. I mean, I was running with Phoebe and Chrissy and Isabel, and we were definitely pushing each other a lot. And so I don't know, I expect to see like a lot from the team as a whole. Like, I think we'll be killing it. So yeah.
Well, I was gonna mention that because like Jill obviously was a two-time All-American.
Yeah.
As a first year, you know, being a teammate with her, what did you maybe learn from kind of watching her do her thing, right?
I mean, I think what I appreciate so much about her is like how calm and composed she could stay. It was pretty remarkable. It was definitely a bit of a switch, like coming into college running and being around all of these like much older people racing. And she was super humble and super just calm and like seemed like she knew what she was doing. So I'm trying to take that into this year. I'm working on it. And she was there yesterday. Oh, nice. So that was, I mean, yeah, that was really, really lovely to see her. We miss her. So, but she's doing good things on her own.
Excellent. Then the main state meet, not this weekend, but the following weekend, yes. Right? So up in Bangor. You raced there last year?
Yeah, I raced there last year. I think Bates won that one too. Jill was kind of out in front, and I remember I was kind of like toe-to-toe with this girl from Bowdoin, who has since graduated. But yeah, so I'm really excited for this race too. I think I'm hoping we can kind of win as a team, and I think we definitely have a chance to do that. And I think, you know, this Bates invite was like a great opener and has given me a lot of kind of a breath of fresh air and confidence to kind of get after it a little more in 2 weeks.
And then after that, you'll move up from 5K to 6K, yes. Which I understand you're very much looking forward to. You like 6K?
Yes. I kind of think, like, the longer the distance, the better for the most part. I kind of love to let loose in the last K. I think that's something I'm pretty good at, I think. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to, like, see where the other teams in the NESCAC are. I think we placed super well last year at the NESCAC Championships, and I think we can do the same this year. I'm really excited. We've got a really awesome group of women. So, yeah.
Yeah, what did it mean for you to be Rookie of the Year last year?
That, oh, my gosh. I don't know if I, like, really knew that was a thing before going into the race. Right, like, right. I was just excited to be there, but that was really exciting. I have some confidence going into conference competition, but also it's just like, I don't know, it's reminded that there's still women who are like up there faster than me, and I'm hoping that I can contend with them. We'll see. I think I've hopefully done some good training over the summer and this early season, so I think I've gotten better, and I think everyone else has gotten a lot better too.
All right, well, we're looking forward to the state meet in a couple weeks. Bates victorious at the Bates Invitational. Elizabeth Holcomb, female Bobcat of the week, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
For the men's team, senior captain Ned Farrington also placed second individually, running the 8K race in 26 minutes, 2.6 seconds. The Bobcats had three finishers in the top 10 out of 97 competitors overall, and Farrington was their top performer, making him our male Bobcat of the week. Tell me a little bit about hosting all these schools, because last year we also had the Bates invite, but it was just Tufts. This time it was Tufts and four more.
Yeah, no, usually obviously a lot smaller of a meet, so great to get some other schools in the mix. It's always good to have that amount of competition early on in the season. Really see where you stand after a summer of training. You know, you never really know where those other teams are going to be because, people put in big summers and sometimes pop off in the fall. So, yeah, fun to get those teams in the mix.
And it's interesting that it was held at Roy's Disc Golf, because we actually had an article about how, like, the cross-country team's making more of an emphasis of practicing at Roy's at least once a week, Wednesdays, because it is more similar to, like, some of the courses you race in championship season, right? Tell us a little bit about that course and how it very much differs from Pineland Farms, right?
Yeah, so we're used to starting the season at Pineland, which is basically just Nordic trails that we run on, and they're a lot harder of a surface, more kind of gravel, dirt, and Roy's is actually mostly grass because it's a disc golf course, so you definitely get a lot less energy return running on a surface like that, but it's definitely good to get on that early in the season, given that Franklin Park in Boston, which is our regionals course, is going to be almost entirely grass. The nationals course is mostly grass. I'm pretty sure the NESCAC's course is mostly grass as well. So getting used to that early in the season is definitely a good thing. Obviously, I would have loved to race at Pineland one more time in my career, but no, I think for experience sake, I think it was actually probably better in the long run that we were at Roy's.
Yeah, you made a good point. That was your senior meet, right? So what was that like? I mean, did it feel different at all?
Yeah, a little bit sad, of course, that that's the last home meet I'll race for Bates. But yeah, I was obviously in my mind, I envisioned running that race at Pineland. But yeah, in some ways, I'm happy I got to race at Roy's. We've been talking about making that the home course, maybe for bigger meets if Bates goes on to host NESCACs or regionals in a few years. And yeah, I never thought I would end up racing there, but I've worked out there a million times, so it was cool to see how it raced, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, yeah, take us through the race, because you got second overall, so another really strong performance for you.
So it was pretty hot out, but yeah, we had a pretty good week of training leading up, and we kind of got an extra day of recovery from our Wednesday workout, given that the race got moved from Saturday to Sunday. So mostly everyone was feeling really good going into it. And yeah, the things got out pretty slow. We let some Tufts guys take the lead, and Victor, Sam, and I worked from the front, and right around the 5K mark, I made a big move with Victor. We started pushing the pace, dropped all the Tufts guys, and yeah, I was with David Reynolds from WPI from like about the 5K mark, right until about like a kilometer to go. And yeah, he was just a bit stronger than me on the day, but I'll be looking to get revenge on him later in the season. Yeah.
That's the thing. You'll see all these runners at some point again, right?
Yeah. So all those teams are in our region.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a pre-regional meet without, you know, of course, MIT, who's returning national champs, but yeah, otherwise, those are basically the most competitive teams in the East region. So a little bit of a preview there. Yeah.
And you've got the state meet coming up, not this weekend, but the following weekend, right? And that's always a fun one. What's it like up there in Bangor, racing there?
Yeah, so it's at Saxel Park, which is actually pretty similar to Roy's, mostly grass, probably a little bit hillier. But yeah, I mean, we've been training on hills so much. We've been doing a lot of runs at Pineland, and, you know, Roy's has its fair share of hills as well. So I think we'll be ready for it for sure, especially compared to, you know, I don't know what Colby and Bowden are doing for training, but I know, at least Brunswick is a much flatter area than Lewiston. So I'll hope we'll get the advantage there on them. So Bowden's looking to be a really competitive team. So we'd obviously love to take the win in the main state meet. Yep.
Absolutely. And then you, it sounds like you mentioned this, you, Victor, and Sam, seems like you three will be running together a lot this year, it sounds like. I mean, what's that group like, a trio, if you will, and Victor being one of your fellow captains also?
Yeah, so we're actually all roommates. And,
Yeah,
we've been great friends since freshman year. So, it's really kind of like a freshman dream come true for us to be, like, sharing the lead at the front of races. Basically the way we do our race strategies is Coach Feldman has us kind of try to stay together through 4 kilometers, and then ideally we stay together through 8K and all come out on top. But we kind of branch off from there. But yeah, working with your teammates really helps, especially in this race. I know Victor had a couple moments where he was running like 10 meters in front of me, and I was kind of just chasing him, trying to hold on for dear life. So I think if he's not there in that situation, I probably run a good 10-15 seconds slower. So having teammates there with you is always huge. Yep.
And you were a captain last year also, so what did you learn from your experience last year as a captain? You're applying as a repeat captain this season.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I've learned is kind of about trying to settle people's nerves. Cross country is obviously like a really terrifying sport when you really think about it. You're gonna go out there and suffer for 25 minutes straight, and
right,
I think underclassmen that can really get to them. I mean, last year I had a couple of races that were really shaky because the nerves got to me, and I'm just doing my best as a senior to keep things really chill, calm people down. We're not doing any, we're not getting overhyped and doing crazy team huddles and speeches beforehand. We're just trying to keep it calm and say, hey, this is just another day out there, and we're just going to go run as hard as we can.
So it was real tight with Tufts. Only 2 points separated these two schools. So, what did you see from that competition? Because obviously they're a NESCAC opponent, they're a regional opponent, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, going into the race, I thought Bowden was going to be the stiffer competition. They have a lot of really strong runners right now. Tufts definitely had some guys come out of nowhere, and I think they're obviously going to be a huge threat this year. I would say they're probably easily a top two, top three team in the NESCAC right now. I do think our squad was a little bit emptier than theirs. They had everyone that I know of, at least. We have a couple guys, like Aiden Rooney didn't race. He'll be back for Maine States. He was right behind me in the 1500 in the spring, so right. He's obviously going to be a huge factor when he comes back. And our number five was Cal Porter, who's just a first year, so he'll continue to improve a ton. So I think we have a lot more room to improve than Tufts, but obviously you never know how things are going to shake up. I mean, they've gave us a scare at NESCACs 2 years in a row, so yeah, hopefully we do that to them this time. Yeah,
certainly. And then obviously we've talked a little bit about this with some other folks, but obviously the men's and women's teams united under one head coach. This is the second year of this. What has that gone like from your perspective?
Yeah, I think things are a lot smoother with that this year. The other day we actually we usually do a 4x mile repeat workout at Roy's on Wednesdays. And coach actually had Victor Sam and I do two reps with the top women's group and then do our 4x mile. So, yeah, it was super fun, like getting to work out with the women's team, get some insight into what their workout and group dynamic is like. And, I think the teams are super cohesive right now. I mean, we're running with them every Thursday for our community run. I would just say overall, last year it was a little bit trickier because the teams had been separate for so long, but this year it's kind of like it's always been this way. Yeah.
Excellent. You said community run. That's just what it sounds like. You run through Lewis and Auburn?
Yeah. So we just, Thursday is like our, a lot of us will double run. So like we'll do our bigger run in the morning and then in the afternoon we'll do like a lift and just like a nice easy run for recovery. For the first 2 miles of that run, we run completely as a team and just talk to people we haven't got the chance to talk with. Run with people we don't usually run with. Pretty fun experience.
Awesome. What are your thoughts you wanted to share on the young season so far, right? I mean, this was actually this is your first meet of the year. I know we had the class wave races previously, but I mean, any other thoughts you wanted to share on the season so far and what you're looking forward to most going forward?
I'm looking forward to seeing how our freshman class develops. I mean, they're by far the strongest freshman class I've seen in my time at Bates, and I think they're going to do some pretty incredible things this season and going forward. So definitely keep an eye out for that.
Sounds good. Ned Farrington, Male Bobcat of the Week. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
In other Bates Athletics news this week, the field hockey team fell to number 3 nationally ranked Babson by a count of 3-2 last Wednesday, and the Bobcats had their scheduled home contest with Williams on Saturday postponed to October 22nd due to the weather conditions. Despite things not going as planned, Bates moved up 2 spots in the national rankings to 13th in the country. Meanwhile, the soccer teams both fell to nationally ranked Williams squads on Sunday, but will get a chance to bounce back this week, starting Tuesday night, as the women's team visits UNE and the men's team hosts Maine Maritime Academy on Garcelon Field at 8 p.m. Find the complete athletic schedule and read all the latest news at GoBatesBobcats.com, and we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast.